So I'm Jean-Philippe Sien, I'm the Archivist Infectious Manager at Tisch Toast Nielsen.
Tell me, JP, so you have just opened a new exhibit at Touchstones Nelson. Can you tell me what the turnout was like on Saturday?
Oh, we had an excellent turnout. Yes, we're really happy. Touchstones members, but also members of the public came down to check out our manga.
For those who weren't able to attend the event on Saturday, can you tell us a bit about this bunker and its historical significance?
Nelson was one of around 50 across Canada, where the government, the federal government, had a program to put in bunkers with the aim of continuing government if there had been a nuclear strike on the Western Hemisphere. They were put in at the end of the 1950s, beginning of the 1960s, during the height of the Cold War.
And how come Nelson was chosen as a location?
There's a few theories. One is that there needed to be one around the Kootenay area, and Nelson being an administrative center, the West Kootenay, was a likely location. The fact there was a fairly new federal post office building as a site for a bunker in Nelson, that was another reason. There are other theories. John Diefenbaker, who was the Prime Minister, and the bunkers were often named Diefenbunkers after John Diefenbaker as being the instigator of this program. He actually came to the Kootenays quite a lot to go fishing, and there's a theory that it would have been good to have a bunker nearby, just in case he was in the Kootenays at that.
One thing that's interesting about this bunker, of course, is that it wasn't used for its intended purpose, and this is one of the first times it is being used.
That's right. It was used for exercises. We know there were first aid exercises in it. We know there were communication radio training exercises. We know there was a ham radio club. Also, there were some cadet meetings there, we think. So there were a few uses for it, but that was mainly in the 60s and 70s, and then it was pretty much very quiet, very little use of it until fairly recently. And now, of course, it's part of the Touchstones Nelson Museum.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great location right next to the museum and a little to the south, I guess, underground. But
that's right.
It hasn't been just sitting there, and now it's opened. You guys put a lot of work into some of the displays and the information and how it is now set up. Can you describe a little bit about what people will see when they go in?
It's quite an interesting space, really. It's not what people expect. You think of a bunker, it might be dark, cold, very claustrophobic. It's actually quite a large space, really. There was plans to have up to 70 people staying there. So I compare it more to sort of a basement for a school as opposed to what most people might consider a small little bunker there. And we have it set up with many of the original features. There are decontamination showers for radiation. There are some huge steel water tanks that would have supplied the people there with their own water supply. There is a kitchen, the original design for the kitchen there. And various other little features which have survived to this day, as well as an exhibition space. So we have text panels. We have a film which interviews some of the people who were in the bunker and involved with the Cold War in Nelson, and various displays of artifacts related to civil defense. There's some displays set up sort of create the atmosphere that we think would have been there if it had been used. So we have the mobile feeding units. They're original to the Cold War. They're actually addressed to Walter Waite, who was the Civil Defense Coordinator of Nelson, most famous for founding Waite's News. Quite a bit of a side there, but you still have the address label to Walter Waite on those units. So we've set those up so people can see what was in those mobile feeding units. And those were designed to be used if there had been an emergency, and it was safe to leave the bunker, that the teams would be going out and trying to respond to the emergency and try and bring things back to life. Part of the history of the bunker, a lot of it's about communication and radios, because the idea was Nelson Bunker was part of a network, or a national network of 50 bunkers, but also a BC network of six other bunkers, and if there had been a need to use the bunkers, they would have been communicating out with their various other bunkers to find out what was going on and try and respond to the emergency.
And one thing that struck me when I was there at the opening is how that space, you kind of really do feel a little disconnected from the outside world when you're down there, don't you?
You go down the stairs and it's quite an atmosphere when you're in there. You get the sense that you're going back into the time, because we've got the quite stark yellow and orange colours. It looks very 60s sort of era. Quite industrial in some ways as well, with some of the features there, such as the water tanks and some of these original features that have survived. This was built in the event of catastrophic event. So how would they have been able to survive down there? And, you know, how would it work? A lot of questions we have about how effective it would be in the bunker. It has got some features such as steel doors and, let's say, radiation showers and its own generator water supply. And we know they stockpiled food down there. But how effective it would have been is the question. We'll never know, I suppose.
One thing that struck me during the tour that I was on was that one of the people who was on the tour asked what it would be like for those 70 people to be leaving their families, some of whom wouldn't have known of the bunker's existence. So if there was an incident that made these people have to go down to the bunker, their family members wouldn't really know what happened to them.
Well, that's right. It was a secret. Family members were certainly not to be allowed in the bunker, so there would have been no children, no partners. It would have just been people who were going down there to work. And I was talking to Tom Ramsden, who was, it was the head of the radio station, who was on the list to go down to the bunker. He was of the thought of, well, I'm not sure if I would have gone, because I would have had to leave my family behind. And it would have been a really difficult moment. Do you want to be with your family, or do you want to be, you know, maybe safer but in the bunker? How would people have coped with the stress of all that?
And the exhibit really captures a feeling of the looming fear that an attack like that could happen at almost any moment. What do you hope that the people who come down and see the bunker and experience this new exhibit, what do you hope that they get out of it?
Well, we hope we understand that this was a period of great fear across Canada. Even more recent, you know, the Cold War only ended around 1989, 1990. Well, this is in living memory. So hopefully people, a lot of people can actually remember the Cold War and the fears they have and the fears they continue to have, because, you know, the nuclear weapons haven't gone away. They are still very much with us today. It reminds people that there are dangers that occur through history and they continue to occur.
I think a lot of people might be able to come into this exhibit and relate a little bit more to the isolation that these people would have felt if it had ever been used, and maybe feel better coming out into the fresh air once they're done.
Yes, isolation is it's quite a feature of all bunkers, I think, and obviously we've experienced that this year. It's funny how the past sort of comes back to us sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's so interesting that, you know, this project, of course, has been a dream for years, and it's during this period of isolation and a pandemic that it actually gets done and unveiled. So congrats to you all for that big project that you've undertaken.
You're very much welcome, Kitty. It's been a pleasure to work on, and it's been really interesting finding out about this piece of our history. Yeah.